And off they went to the wonder field, where Pinocchio buried his 4 gold pieces, watered them, and added salt, lemon juice, and a bit of Tabasco.
Attaboy, Pinocchio. Now come back in a half an hour. The gold tree should be blooming by then.
Pinocchio went away and returned in a half hour. He looked for the gold tree. He found plum trees and apple trees and orange trees and even a steak tree that grew sirloin steaks, medium rare. But no gold tree.
Yeah, hey, who is that's laughing?
'Tis I, Irving, the intelligent mouse.
Oh, it's you again.
Yes, sir, and I'm laughing at a simpleton who believes everything he hears. Don't you know the fox and the cat have run away with your money?
Well,
the situation reminds me of a poem by William Shakespeare, a famous mouse poet. The title of the poem is, In This Our Life. I shall recite it. In this our life, someone is always trying to get something for nothing, and he ends up getting nothing for something. In this our life, someone is always trying to grow money on trees, but the trees insist on growing apples and chestnuts. In other words, my little wooden head, you goofed. You blew it. You should have stood in bed.
Pinocchio fell to his knees and frantically dug up the ground. He dug until he almost reached China, but of course, he found nothing. The gold was gone. Sadly, he set off for the fairy's cottage. On the way, he became very hungry, and he jumped over a fence into a field where he saw some grapevines. But as soon as he reached the grapes...
Ow! Oh, help! Help! My foot! My foot is caught in a trap!
Oh, so now you're in more trouble.
Oh, Irving the mouse. Oh, boy, am I glad to see you. Hey, Irving, please, help me get out of this trap.
How did you get into it?
Well, I just wanted to pick a few of those grapes in the fresh...
Excuse me?
Huh?
Who taught you to pick OPG?
Well, I... What is OPG?
Other people's grapes.
Oh, come on, please, Irving. Stop with the jokes and let me out of this trap.
Irving began to feel sorry for poor Pinocchio and let him out of the trap. Pinocchio picked up his wooden heels and ran toward the fairy's cottage. But when he arrived, no cottage was there. Where the cottage had been, he saw only tall grass and hundreds of daffodils. He asked the daffodils if they knew what had happened to the fairy, but they all shook their heads no. Then Pinocchio sat down in the grass and rested his head on his arm. He felt sadder than he had ever felt in all his life.
Where, oh, where is my fair, fair lady? My lovely lady with blue, blue hair. Will I hear her voice so light and airy in valley shady or meadow fair? Where, oh, where is my fair, fair lady? My lovely lady with blue, blue hair. Gee, it's awfully lonely without the fairy. Talking to daffodils is all right, but it's sort of one-sided. And they can't tell me what I want to know.
As Pinocchio was mourning his dear fairy, the falcon flew down to see him, bringing terrible news. He had seen Geppetto at the seashore where the old man was making a canoe to cross the ocean. Poor Geppetto had searched all over for Pinocchio, and now he was going to look in foreign lands. Then the falcon offered to let Pinocchio climb on his back and fly with him to the seashore. Off they flew, high above the clouds. But when they arrived, Geppetto was gone. He was far out in the ocean in a little canoe that bobbed up and down, tossed by furious waves. As they looked, a terrible wave struck the canoe. Down it went, and they never saw it again.
Oh, I've got to save him!
Pinocchio plunged into the water and swam bravely out. For hours and hours, he battled the waves, and then a friendly dolphin passed.
Oh, say, dolphin, have you seen anything of my pop Geppetto and his little canoe?
Well, I have sad news for you, Pinocchio. The great Blubberolo swallowed your father, canoe and all.
Well, who is the great Blubberolo?
Don't you know? Why, he's the largest fish in all the ocean, and the hungriest.
There was nothing for the unhappy Pinocchio to do but swim on. Early in the morning, weary and hungry, he reached a little island where he rested. Then he begged for food, but the island people said he would have to work for it. Now, Pinocchio still didn't like the idea of working, but when a woman offered him bread, meat, and apple pie if he would help her carry 2 pitchers of water, he was too hungry to refuse. Yes, Pinocchio actually worked. And when he finished working, he ate. Then, as he looked up at the woman, his eyes opened wide in amazement, and he sat with his fork in the air and his mouth open. The woman smiled.
What's the matter with you, Pinocchio?
Well, you have eyes like hers, and hair, and yes, your hair is blue. Why, you're my blue fairy.
Yes, it's true. But you've forgotten all I told you. You've been gone so long that now I'm old enough to be your mother instead of your sister.
Oh, that's great. Now I can have a mother just like other boys. But how did you grow up so quickly?
That's a secret.
Oh, well, tell me, please. I want to grow up, too.
You can't grow up, Pinocchio.
Huh?
Marionettes are born marionettes.
Oh.
And they stay marionettes all their lives.
Oh, but I'm sick of being nothing but a marionette. I want to be a real live boy.
Maybe you'll become a real live boy if you deserve it.
Well, what must I do to deserve it?
You have to learn to study,
uh-huh.
to work,
uh-huh.
and to tell the truth.
Oh.
You can't lead a selfish life. You have to learn not to hide your heart from those who love you.
Your hideaway heart, the heart you never share, is hidden under lock and key, as though it isn't there. Hide away, heart, it's really time you knew. Every heart worth having must be big enough for two. If you hide your heart away and save it like a miser, then time will make you sad, but never wiser. So tell your hideaway heart that what I say is true. When your heart comes out of hiding, happiness will come to you.
Oh, I'm going to try to be good, starting right now. And the first thing I want to do is to help my pop. Do you think I'll ever see him again?
I think so.
And will you be my mother?
If you'll always love me.
Oh, I will, on the level.
Then tomorrow you start school.
School. Here we go again. Same old story, same old lecture.
What were you saying, Pinocchio?
Oh, nothing, but, well, isn't it a little late for me to go to school?
I thought you wanted to grow up and to be a real live boy.
Well, all right. Now, you promised, didn't you?
I promised. Now it depends on you.
And so Pinocchio went to school. He became a splendid pupil, and he worked hard at his studies. Most of the other boys liked him, but some were jealous because he was such a good student. One day, a group of schoolmates approached Pinocchio. Their leader was a skinny boy named Matchstick.
Say, come on, Pinocchio. We're all going down to the seashore. There's a great big fish resting on the sand.
Oh, I can't go, Matchstick. School today.
Well, but maybe it's Blubberolo, the fish, who swallowed your fodder.
Gosh, maybe it is. But the fairy will be real angry if I skip school.
Oh, it won't hurt you to play hooky once. Besides, Blubberolo won't be there if we don't hurry.
Okay, then let's go. Last man there is a rotten egg.
Off they ran to the shore. But when they got there, Pinocchio saw nothing but sand and water.
Hey, Matchstick, where's Blubberolo?
Well, I guess he went out for breakfast. Or maybe he's taking a nap.
Look, you, there isn't any fish here. Now, what's the idea of playing jokes on me?
Oh, we just wanted you to play hooky once, kiddo. Aren't you ashamed of being such a goody-goody?
What difference does it make to you?
A big difference. Why, you make all the rest of us look silly. Why don't you be a regular fellow and stick with us?
Why go to school when it's much more fun to play the fool beneath the sun with double features and swimming pools? Who needs teachers and who needs schools? I cannot add, I can subtract, but listen, lad, for this is fact. Why go to school when it's much more fun to play the fool beneath the sun?
But Pinocchio refused to listen. This made Matchstick and his friends so angry that they jumped on Pinocchio. But he was too strong and brave for them, and he beat them. Then he ran back to the fairy's cottage. There he knocked and knocked and waited and waited. Half an hour later, a top floor window opened, and a large snail poked his head out and called down.
What do you want this time of night?
Oh, I'm Pinocchio, the marionette who lives here with the fairy.
Well, then wait. I'll come right down.
Well, hurry, please. I'm very cold.
My boy, I am a snail, and no self-respecting snail ever hurries.
In the morning, 9 hours later, the snail finally reached the door.
Here I am, my boy.
Oh, I'm hungry and I'm so cold. Will you ask the fairy to help me, please?
She's asleep. But if you're hungry, I'll bring you food.
The snail set off, and while Pinocchio was waiting, he heard a voice saying,
Pinocchio, I forgive you this time. The very last time. But I hope for your sake you're never bad again.
And there was the fairy in the doorway. By this time you must know that Pinocchio was the world's champion promiser. So he promised, and he really kept his promise for the rest of the year. Why, he was too good to be true. And when the school term was almost ended, the fairy called him.
Pinocchio, you've been good and you've worked hard. As a reward, I'm going to grant your dearest wish. Tomorrow you won't be a marionette anymore.
Oh, boy.
You'll be a real live boy.
Wowee!
And we'll have a great party to celebrate.
Oh, that's terrific!
And so the happy Pinocchio rushed out to invite all his friends, promising to be back within the hour. One of the boys Pinocchio wanted to invite was Matchstick, because he had forgiven Matchstick for the tricks he had played. Pinocchio found him under the porch of a farmer's house.
Say, Matchstick, what are you doing there?
I'm hiding. I'm going to run away to Playtime Land. It's the most beautiful place in the world. Want to come along, kiddo?
Oh, not me. Tomorrow I'm going to be a real boy.
Oh, so what? Almost 100 real boys are coming with me. Why, Playtime Land is the place for us. No school, no teachers, and no books. And every week has 6 Saturdays, 1 Sunday, and 3 strawberry shortcakes.
But what do you do all day?
Play, and then you play some more. How does that strike you?
Well, it sure sounds like the sort of life I could go for, but... Well, you better go on without me. Are you walking?
Walking? Well, of course not. It's ridiculous. A carriage is coming for us.
Oh, well... Maybe I'll just wait around long enough to have a look at the carriage.
Well, here it comes now.
An And along came a handsome carriage drawn by 12 donkeys, each a different color. The driver was a short, fat man with an oily smile and a coaxing voice. In the carriage, boys were packed too tight to move, but none complained. Matchstick jumped up and sat beside the driver. Then he called to Pinocchio.
Hey, you better come, Pinocchio, or you'll be sorry.
Well, no, I don't think... Well, if I do come, where can I sit?
Well, on one of the donkeys.
That did it. Up jumped Pinocchio to the back of a purple donkey, and off went the carriage. By morning, they reached Playtime Land. All about were boys hooting and yelling and playing games, or even cackling like a hen that had just laid an egg. For days and days, the boys did nothing but play.
Say, oh boy, this is the life, Matchstick.
Yeah, didn't I tell you? And you didn't even want to come.
5 months passed. 5 months of nothing but marbles and tag and hide-and-go-seek and baseball. But one morning, when Pinocchio reached up to scratch his head, he felt something long and furry. He tugged at it and suddenly realized what it was. His ear. He ran to a mirror, and there he saw, sprouting from his head, a pair of fine, long donkey ears.
Donkey ears!
Just then, Irving, the intelligent mouse, scampered by. Pinocchio saw him.
Irving! Irving! There's something wrong with me.
Of course there's something wrong with you. In 2 or 3 hours, you will be all donkey, just like the donkeys who pull the carriage to Playtime Land. This happens to all boys who refuse to have anything to do with books, schools, and teachers.
Oh, Irving. Irving, I haven't got any sense. Why didn't I stay with the fairy who loves me? Oh, boy, just wait till I get my hands on Matchstick.
Pinocchio ran off to find Matchstick. They both saw each other at the same moment.
Pinocchio!
Matchstick!
Each of them burst out laughing because the other had donkey ears. But then they began to bray, and their arms turned into forelegs, their bodies grew stiff, grizzled hair, and each sprouted a long tail to swish the flies away.
I came to Playtime Land to laugh and sing and play. But now, and here's a funny thing, I cannot play or laugh or sing. All I can do is bray. All I can do is bray.
I came to Playtime Land, though teacher wouldn't say. Now listen, Matchstick, learn to rule, or I must keep you after school. But now I can only bray. Now I can only bray.
All we can do is bray.
Then the driver of the carriage burst into the room, gave them both a good currying, put bridles on them, and led them away to sell them in the market. The road to the market led along some cliffs, below which the sea pounded against the shore. On the way, Pinocchio slipped and fell down, down, down with a great splash into the sea. He promptly sank to the bottom. But the fairy saw he was in danger of drowning, and so she sent a great school of fish to him. Pinocchio wouldn't go to school, but now a school went to Pinocchio. The fish nibbled away at the donkey ears, the tail, the fur, and the hooves, and what was left was the real wooden Pinocchio. So he swam out, and when he was far from shore, the water suddenly rose up, foamed and flashed, and from the depths came the head of the terrible Blubberolo. Blubberolo took one look at Pinocchio, opened his mouth, and swallowed him as easily as a gumdrop. Now, Blubberolo was known for his gloomy stomach. Inside that gloomy stomach, Pinocchio wandered about, calling from time to time,
"Help! Help! Help! Help!"
Then, as he walked, he saw a little light flickering in the distance. He rushed toward it until he reached a table. On the table was a green candle, and seated in a chair was an old man with a white beard. Pinocchio took one look at the old man, forgot all his own troubles, and leaped for joy.
Father! Father! Oh, I found you at last!
Do I see you right? Is this really my dear Pinocchio?
Oh, it is, Father. It sure is.
Oh, son, I've been in this poorly furnished and gloomy stomach for almost 2 years. Since Blubberolo also swallowed my canoe, which was full of supplies, I've had food to last till now. But I'm down to my only piece of bread.
Well, then, we've got to get out right away.
What's the use? I can't even swim.
Yeah, but I'm a good swimmer. I can swim with you on my back. Look, I'll take the candle, and we'll start right now.
They walked a long time till they reached the back of the fish's mouth. Now, Blubberolo usually slept with his mouth open, so Pinocchio could look out and see the starry sky and the moonlight. They tiptoed over the tongue, climbed up the teeth, took a deep breath, and leaped into the water. Geppetto held tightly to Pinocchio's back. For a day and a night, Pinocchio swam bravely on. But then he grew so tired, he could hardly lift his arms.
Father! Father! We're going to drown!
Fortunately, the friendly dolphin swam by and graciously offered them his tail. They both seized it until the dolphin brought them safe to shore.
Oh, my dear dolphin, you've saved my father. Let me give you a kiss.
The dolphin put his nose out of the water, and Pinocchio kissed it. The poor dolphin was so moved, he began to cry like a baby. It's difficult to tell when a fish is crying, especially underwater. Then Pinocchio and his father went off to find food and shelter. They met a farmer who needed help, and Pinocchio set to work drawing 100 buckets of water from a well. The farmer gave them a fine meal. The town where the farmer lived was so pleasant that they settled there. Pinocchio worked very hard, so hard that he was soon able to buy a new coat for Geppetto. One day, he was on his way to work when he met the snail again.
Oh, hi there, snail. It's good to see you again. Any news of the blue fairy?
I regret to say that she is ill with grief. She thinks that Blubberolo swallowed you, and now she's alone in a hospital.
Well, then, here's some money for her. I was going to use it to buy myself some clothes, but, well, the fairy needs it more.
The snail took the money and really rushed off, moving so fast that other snails looked at him with utter contempt. That night, Pinocchio studied extra hard to teach himself to read and write. Then he fell asleep, exhausted. As he slept, he dreamed that he saw the fairy, radiant and smiling, leaning over his bed to kiss him. And he heard her voice.
My good Pinocchio, because of your kind heart, I forgive you for all your bad ways. Boys who help others willingly and lovingly are really good boys.
When Pinocchio awoke, he felt very strange. Near him lay a new suit of clothes, and when he put them on, he found in the pocket exactly the same amount of money he had given the fairy. There was also a note which read,
"The fairy with the blue hair returns to her dear Pinocchio the money he sent her and thanks him for his good heart."
Then Pinocchio pinched himself on his arm. His arm wasn't hard and wooden. It was soft, and the pinch hurt. He jumped up and shouted,
"Father! Father, look! I'm a real boy! A real live boy!"
A real son! A real live son!
But the old wooden me! What's happened to him?
Both of them looked around until they saw a limp, lifeless wooden doll leaning against a chair, its head hanging to one side and its legs crossed. The real live boy looked at the marionette and smiled. And from the distance came the voice of the blue fairy.
comes out of hiding. Happiness will come to you.